For this past 6 weeks, it's been fun journeying through the Epistle of John, primarily focusing on the first letter and then pairing the writing for the week with a different musical selection that has popped into my head. Some have been more obvious than others. Each piece of music I have selected happens to be part of the journey of my life. This week, we get further into our topic, before we get further into our topic, I should say. I want to kind of give, not necessarily Larry, a disclaimer, but kind of a warning or a tag, just off to the side. Making sure that we understand there is a balance between the divine love of God that calls us to have for one another and those who abuse others and call it love. And there is a difference between those who are hard to love and those we cannot be in a relationship with because it is not good for us, for your mental, your emotional, physical, or spiritual health. And when I talk about those it is hard to love, it is up for you as an individual to decide who it is okay to love and who it is okay to be in a relationship, and whom God may be calling you to show love to. Not me. I am here to be a guide, opening up possibilities and how to be an expression of God's love for those we encounter. And please know that God protects us from our abusers. Okay, now that is out of the way, and on to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey likes to say. Then the song that I chose for this week is called Foolish Heart, from one of my all-time favorite bands. And you can go look on the back of my license plate if you ever need to figure out who that is. And they sum up what toxic love is. A foolish heart will call on you to toss your dreams away, then turn around and blame you for the way you went astray. They will cause you to lose sleep, curse you, and never give you love. A selfish heart is trouble, but a foolish heart is worse. These are the false prophets the elder was warning the community about. Looking at the roots of the text, it all started with a warning. A warning against those who came in and started to spread untrue rumors about who Christ was and is, mainly about his humanity and his divinity, which we know is all connected with God's love, not only for his Son, but for us, through his Son. From the beginning, the elder, who we later know was identified as John, through lots of scholarly debate through the first and second century of the church, had been telling the community about what God's love is and what it looked like for us, and connecting the love of God to their faith through Christ, starting at his birth and ties to the divine. We know all these things, and John is reminding the community of love. And how that abides in us and in them, because Christ abides in them and in through their baptism. And the elder is continually connecting the dots in the form of lines, which forms the cross, to assure them of their eternal salvation, which confirms their faith. And the love that God has for them, that divine love, which is expressed when John calls them beloved, is infusing their faith, is infusing their acts of faith that is equipping them to go forth. And this true faith is expressed by believing in the Messiah, who is Christ, the Son of God, born of God. And through sending of the Son, God shows love to us, which they already had. Therefore, he's saying, don't be misled or made to disbelieving by telling lies, by those who are telling the lies. That's the same for us. Not only to be misled, but to testify to this faith that we have that's in the core of us, in the core of our faith, which is another piece of this. As a result of God's love, faith is shining within them. And they're being equipped to live out the actions of love for and to one another. And it was important to the historic church to be able to express both their love and faith in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Trinity, actually. As we know, all three are one. And to be able to testify when being asked of their faith by those who are seeking. And for the ancient church, this is when the Nicene Creed comes into play. So we've been kind of talking about that in these last couple weeks. And when being asked by those who are trying to unravel the mystery of God, the ancient church could say, with the Nicene Creed, this is the faith of the church, this is our faith. So when they would say in each article of the creed, we believe, and focusing this week on the baptism, that through baptism, we respond to God's anticipatory act of grace in a personal testimony of faith. The Nicene Creed is a confession of the church's faith. It joins all baptized together in each and every place, now and throughout the ages together. Which I think is so powerful when you think about that. Each and every age, from when it was written in 325 to now. All ages of the church, it ties together in one article. In all ages. Therefore, each time we are joined as one body, united together or spread out, the church professes and proclaims our faith. Not only our trust in God's grace as individuals, but affirming our trust as the whole church in God's bond throughout our ongoing confession in response to God's grace and love. It's just amazing as we begin or continually unravel and understand our faith and God's love for us and that grace and hope that we can hold on to each and every day. Not only through the confession, but in hearing God's word and the sacraments that we partake in when we receive weekly through these things, these each and every part of our worship, and we can find or are finding reassurances in our faith of God. And all parts of worship that bind us together as a spiritual community, linking us to our historical roots and understanding of where we are coming from as we look forward to where we are going. Understanding that we're not being radical as the world thinks of the word, but we are reclaiming the word, recultivating our roots in our faith tradition as we're being called to do. Hearing the words of encouragement and hope spoken by the author, sensing God's love for us and the grace freely given. It means not losing heart when it may seem hopeless or when we're being attacked, not being led into fear or hate or shame by those who want to cause panic or harm, not allowing those who speak the opposite of God's message or to create division or to feed into the anxiety or produce uncertainty. It's to move outward. When we touched briefly on this last week, it is choosing those things that are being modeled to us through Christ. It is asking ourselves as a community, as families, as individuals, how do we respond when called to be expressions of God's divine love? How do we learn to love the world again and not close off to it. And for us, this is not the end of the discovery, but the beginning of a journey. In the summer, I'm hoping to look more into this idea of learning to love the world again. For now, I see the importance of being an expression of God's love within the community of Fir Conway. So Fir and Conway as joined. Locating ways to connect with the local partners who are also wanting to rebuild a sense of community in a healthy and loving way. Discovering our commonality, our values, our roots, and building relationships to be a reflection of our faith and living out God's love in positive ways. In smaller ways, this week I read an article by an author, Sarah Bessie, who mentions we can express God's love in the particular. Love being expressed through a smile to a stranger, a wave to the farmer driving his tractor down the road, showing love by clicking the donation button on the local food bank website, or partnering with a community organization. Some small way to keep loving your neighbor. Loving this moment of particular grace, not in spite of all the grief and loss surrounding us, but because of it. Love this world because the beautiful and terrible things will happen, and don't be afraid. And I add, to continue showing God's love that flows through us by faith. And this is my encouragement and hope for us as we continue outward. Amen.